always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider for Offside, as well as their lead Lakers content creator, joined on this fine Monday night by Raj Topalu. Raj, I was traveling while the Lakers were beating the Philadelphia 76ers yesterday, and I got home and maybe could have recorded a lowdown, but I was just so, like, I don't know about you, but traveling, well, there's you, I can't get your opinion on this, but traveling with kids is like the worst experience that like anybody can possibly have. It's just terrible. Like, even yesterday went well, and it's just, you get home and you're tired. So did not record a lowdown, did not record obviously a post game with you yesterday, did record a offside thing from the airplane, but like even that was kind of like, guys, that game was really, really good, right? Like, that was really good. And but for the most part, I've just been sitting on all of the takes from this, and it's given me indigestion. Like, I feel like I have acid backup. So get ready for some takes, man. That was a really fun game. That was awesome.
First off, was anyone next to you going like, hey dude, like, what are you doing? Because it felt like a part of the plane ride where everyone was asleep, you know what I mean? It just looked very dark. I mean, it was just dark inside the plane.
Well, so I was flying back from El Paso, and El Paso isn't exactly a vacation destination. So like, flying from El Paso to Austin, I think they said there were like 100 empty seats. So Jen and me and the kids, we all kind of had our own little section. So I was pretty distant from everybody else. Miles did look up. Like, Miles at one point did, like, what are you doing? You know, like, he's sitting there playing on Jen's phone, some little like baby app thing. And he just kind of looked up. He's like, what are you doing? And Avery, you can kind of see Jen in the background, kind of like moving around. I think Avery was trying to photobomb. Like, I'd have to go back and watch it again, but I'm pretty sure Avery was trying to like get in, like, oh, it was certainly like, under normal conditions, I probably would have. Well, but like, even there, like, if I have Wi-Fi, I'm going to try to get the video up. So it's only like a 1 minute video. I probably wouldn't have gone for the full 3 minutes that they sometimes ask us. That probably would have been poor.
Sure. No, that was an amazingly fun game, and the one that the Lakers needed. They got Luka Doncic back. Speaking about having kids and traveling with kids, Luka Doncic had his kid and traveled all the way back.
He's sitting coach in Southwest when he's I am back home though.
His plane ride is probably a little bit more smooth.
He could probably record whatever he wanted to. He probably doesn't have to whisper into the microphone.
Probably not. That's a really fun win. Probably can turn on whatever lights he wants. Get any lighting. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was some question. What is he watching the game? Was a question like on the broadcast, you know, and he said he doesn't watch the NBA. He was watching that game though. I would think he was watching that game.
Well, not the Philly one. He was there, right? Like,
oh yeah. I meant the other one. What game was he not there for?
the
Toronto.
Toronto. Yeah. I didn't, I stopped watching the Boston one. I'm not going to lie. Like,
okay.
I thought it was going to be a blowout, and then very quickly became a blowout. And I just said, you know what? I'm on vacation. I'm here with family. I haven't seen these people in like years. I'm not spending another moment like glancing up at the TV to see if they cut it to 17 or whatever it was. So, you know, way to go, Boston. You guys beat the G League team. And today on the show, we're going to talk about the road trip in its entirety, right? Three gamer that the Lakers went on. I call any road trip that you go 500 or above a successful one. And I think when you consider the context that this one was played with, this was super, you know, successful, I think. Not just in terms of wins and losses, but I also think in terms of like some boxes that the Lakers have needed to check off, most notably LeBron playing well. So we'll talk about that road trip. I want to talk about the way that Philly game went, right? Where you have,
Luka returns back to action. He, I thought, had a pretty solid game by his standards, 34 and whatever it was, 13 that he finished with, plus a good number of rebounds. Austin was terrible. He looked pretty clearly pretty fatigued, yeah. You know, from playing his third game in four nights and, you know, carrying the offense for multiple of those games, right, with Luka out. So I thought Austin looked really bad. And then it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. LeBron is on the team.
Right.
And LeBron, you know, whether we want to call it a vintage LeBron game, whether we want to call it a bounce back game, whatever we want to call it, it was LeBron playing really bleeping well. And it was by design, I thought. I thought the Lakers did the most that they have done so far this season to really involve him in the game. And I thought that was something like, I don't think it's a coincidence that he looked the way that he did with the Lakers actually, you know, playing through LeBron. So,
ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
We'll talk about that. I also thought it was interesting the ways that they got him involved. This is something that Pete and I have been texting about. I don't know if he's mentioned it on the show yet or not, but I've been calling LeBron LaRoomba with the amount of screens that he's been setting, because it reminds me of Lonzo back in the day, where Lonzo would be like, he could not just stand still.
Yeah.
Just kind of set screens, or he would cut and he would do this. And I think this is the best version of LeBron here. So, and then as we always do at the end of the show, we will answer whatever questions you guys have for us over the course of the episode. Reminder, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, hit that share button. And a quick shout out, by the way, to everybody from the playback platform. Obviously, we never got the Lounge's playback going in the ways that I kind of wanted to. I never really felt all that comfortable with it personally, just kind of talking into a mic. I would have wanted to get somebody doing that side by side, and it's a difficult ask. There was just no money in it. So, but there were some people who created some really cool platforms over there. Coach's Den was my favorite. Pete had a really good playback as well. And there were some really cool communities that we are losing it was a very diverse collection of communities. And I think that is the saddest part of all of this. It's like, we had a whole bunch of people who did not have this kind of a background doing that, and they were doing it well, and now it's just gone. And my heart kind of breaks for those people.
Yeah, it's disappointing. We had the All Access Lakers playback, yeah, right, that we did for a while too. Tough, you know, it's a huge commitment for people who do that. Standing in front and watching games all 3 hours, right? Standing there and having to be entertaining for that whole time to keep.
And they were.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's a tough job. That's disappointing that couldn't sustain. I'm assuming, Anthony, that gets restarted in some capacity, whether that's the same name playback. It's just too many creators and too many things, I think, can eventually hopefully be monetized in a way that they can kind of keep up. But playback was definitely had its moment, and I thought really created some market share in what they were trying to do. Disappointed they had to end this week in the middle of the season. That's just really tough for a lot of people to now transfer their content now to different platforms.
Yeah. I mean, to anybody who did lose your platforms and stuff like that, hit me up. Let's talk, let's figure out like your next steps and stuff like that. I've been doing this for a while, and I think have some pretty good input to those who are interested in it. So, all right, let's go ahead and awkwardly segue back to Lakers basketball here. And 2-1 on that road trip, which is good in the normalest of circumstances. They get to 2-1. They didn't have Luka for two of those games. Didn't have LeBron for one of those games. The game that they got Luka back, right? He's on the heels of having a kid. So, you know, his mind and body is all over the place.
Yeah.
Austin was a shell of himself because of the previous couple of games in that road trip, I thought. and yet you fight, you scratch, you claw. And I thought it was great because, you know, from a culture standpoint, you continue to win and you continue to reward yourself with good habits with those wins. And I thought, most importantly, Raj, they got LeBron looking like LeBron again.
They did. You called it La Roomba, but NBA.com still doesn't have his screen numbers for some reason. They only have Ayton and Jackson Hayes. To me, that was the most screens I've seen LeBron set in a game.
Yeah.
Maybe even in his Lakers tenure. And yeah, Austin didn't shoot well, but I thought that is the exact, you have the blueprint kind of here as well on the, kind of on the task list. I thought that's the blueprint, honestly. Luka Doncic comes out again, has 19 or whatever in the first half, does what he does, shoots a bunch of times in the first quarter. But I thought Austin and Luka with LeBron as a screener, like that's where it becomes super dangerous. And to me, that Philly game, one of my favorite wins of the year, honestly. It was sad watching Joel Embiid look like that. Like, just obviously you want to win, but Joel Embiid did not look like a player that honestly
should. I really hope no NBA players get that surgery that he got. Because it ended Brandon Roy's career, like his essentially, I forget which ligament it is that you tear in your knee. I don't know if it's the meniscus, maybe, but like basically, I think it's the meniscus. Any doctors or physical therapists in the chat, hit me up. But I'm pretty sure it was the meniscus, and essentially, when you tear it, you can either rehab it and have it, you know, try to get back to as close to full strength that way as you can. But it takes a lot longer. And a lot of players and teams look at that commitment and they get a little wary, especially players, right? Like Brandon Roy wanted to get right back for the playoffs that the Portland Trail Blazers were about to play in. And the other option that you can go in, and this is what Roy did, and I believe this is what Embiid did, you basically shave it all together and you try to exist from that point forward without having a meniscus. I think that's what it was. And that surgery, I can't honestly think of any occasions where that surgery didn't cost significant years at the end of a career. And Embiid now looks like I was thinking about it, Raj. I think he's a minimum player after this current contract.
Oh, that's crazy. He has like 3 years left with like 40 million or 50 million each on the deal. So disappointing to see him play that way, even from a competitive standpoint. But this Philly team, even with him looking like that, I thought Paul George had one of his better games. I think he's just getting back to Tyrese Maxey.
He was on the Sixers.
Tyrese Maxey has entered into that. He's past the star phase now, if you want to call him a superstar. He's like right in that tier, just one of those tough covers. And yeah, they have Nick Nurse as their coach. That was one of my favorite, just grinded out wins. I think they were down 7 at the half, had a, you know, third quarter that, you know, the Lakers have had some struggles in the third quarter, but that LeBron screening for Austin and Luka, where he has it on the short roll. He can lob it to Ayton. I think Ayton's one of the leaders in lobs, even though the Lakers suck at lobs. Somehow Ayton's kind of in the top there because he knows how to catch the basketball. Ayton had a great game, to me, a thankless job that he has.
He's like more explosive, right?
I mean, if you have the ball handlers the Lakers do, you get a couple passes that are a little bit better. His explosiveness, I'm not sure. I mean, he's getting a couple more lobs, I think, because he's just open more with more playmaking on the floor. No team can put out Luka, LeBron, and Austin as playmakers. It just doesn't exist. And so I think he's eating a little bit off that. But 7 for 7, Anthony, like, did not miss against Embiid is hobbled. He's still a 300-pound mass that you have to go through. I thought, you know, Ayton was just fantastic in his defensive disposition. But LeBron looking like that, had the jumpers that went in the fourth. That got the story. But to me, it was his willingness to screen every single time and going, all right, I have Grimes on me. I'm screening here. I get to the post. I screen here. I go pick and roll. You know, I catch it on the roll. Just doing it the way that you don't really expect LeBron to do. But this is kind of a drum I've been beating for a while. I was like, if you have Austin take this leap, you have Luka Doncic as the main ball handler, where's LeBron's involvement coming from? It's coming from as an off-ball player. And so this was, to me, one of my favorite wins of the season. And obviously LeBron came through, crowned himself. Michael Thompson is a gem on the broadcast. My God, just hilarious stuff. Yeah. But
I want him to take over after Stu. Like, I want him to be the new guy.
I don't know if you caught it, but Luka went to the line and he's shooting free throws. He goes one free throw for each kid, and it's just the most hilarious. Like, that's such a Michael Thompson thing to say. But no, LeBron was amazing. And you know, he doesn't have to do this every night, which is kind of the beauty of this team. But it's good to show that he can pull his hand in that bag and pull it out from time to time.
Yeah, I really think the beginnings of LaRumba, or maybe not even the beginnings, but I think that idea was really planted in his head in that Toronto game. In that, like, he ISO'd against Scotty Barnes, and he went to that fadeaway over his right shoulder that he can get off of every other player, and Barnes jumped up and blocked it. Like,
did Barnes even jump? I'm not even sure Barnes jumped. Just put his hand up, and it, like, caught it.
Barnes, it was one of those plays that, like, I almost think Barnes felt bad. You know, like, I'm sorry. Like, I remember the first time I blocked my dad's shot, and it was like, oh, I'm sorry, dad. Like, this doesn't feel right, you know? And I just, but anyway, LeBron gets blocked on that play, and he realized in that game, this is part of why he didn't get to the 10 points. He realized in that game, I'm not going to get shit ISOing against this freaking monster. This guy's insane. And so he just started setting screens and doing a lot of handoffs and stuff like that, trying to get himself some momentum before he gets the ball. This is one of the things that I think more NFL teams need to do with their running backs, where so many running backs, you just waste so many handoffs running into the middle of the line, and you're running up against these 300-pound interior linemen. That can't be good for one of the best players on your roster. So I've always thought, like, you know, instead of a couple of those handoffs, those are part of the game. You're always going to have some of those, but also try to run a couple of the play actions and sneak your running back in behind those linemen. So when they catch it, they're already at or near the secondary, and you make life that much easier for them. For LeBron, that's basically what that game, what the clutch moments were against Philly, was basically like, you know, they were just running these play action passes basically to LeBron as the running back leaking out of the backfield. And he had so much room, because if you're Philly, and I think Nick Nurse said this literally after the game, he was like, yeah, we were doubling Luka. We didn't want Luka to beat us. And it was like, okay, you're doubling off of LeBron, you know? And it was the play of the game, right? The play that sealed the game against the Toronto Raptors was basically, like, you know, the same thing that their coach, Igor, right? He was like, we didn't want Austin to beat us. Okay. You're doubling off of LeBron.
Right.
And LeBron's always going to make the right play. Is it always going to result in points? I don't know. It just depends on whether or not you make the shot. But the fact that the Lakers now have the means to have LeBron James in one of the most dangerous spots on the court, always able and willing to make the right play, that is the most dangerous thing that any team, I'm not even kidding, any team, the Nuggets with Jokic, frankly, this is what makes Jokic so difficult, right? Because he's a really willing screen setter. And so you'll have Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic running their pick and rolls, and you get Jokic in the short role because teams have to care about Jamal Murray. And like, that's what makes Denver's, you know, late game offense so brutal to deal with. Now the Lakers have something at that level that they can now go to. And I think with LeBron I think it was also really smart that JJ Redick said after the game, really gave LeBron credit for the way that he was screening. He knows how important this is too. So that was, I think, a top five development so far this season.
LeBron has a backcourt that averages 30 each. It's just nuts. That's just so nuts to say out loud. But no, keeping it football in a way, JJ Redick in preseason, or his kind of opening statements, mentioned that, you know, he had a long conversation with Rams coach Sean McVay. And I guess the Rams can win the Super Bowl this year.
The utility plays.
And so I've been meaning to ask JJ about it, but since LeBron just came back, But I think you're starting to see those utility plays be put in little by little, right? And it's very tough in game one to go to LeBron and go, oh, yeah, you're setting screens this game, buddy. Like, you know, that's yeah. probably a tough thing. But I think, like, as the games went on and LeBron can kind of see how the offense runs when he's on the court, I think he's found a nice balance to it. And some nights, the beautiful thing about LeBron, some nights it is his, like, the correct shot is LeBron bulldozing to the rim, right? If Keontae George is on LeBron, then you scrap the offense and you give the ball to LeBron and go, you have a 6'1", you know, 100-pound dude on you. Like, the job, your job is to score on this play. But, you know, when Luka has it going, when Austin has it going, which will be most nights as the numbers have shown out, then LeBron's able to kind of pick his spots and be a spot-up shooter, right? That's just you mentioned the half-court kind of blitz on Austin. That was nuts to watch. Other people going, like, you're blitzing Austin Reeves while LeBron's one pass away. LeBron's one pass away. He's not in the other corner. And so, yeah, I think that's a huge development, something that I've been asking for. I think that's something that JJ noticed probably in the playoff series as well. A lot of the offense, thing I mentioned on this show before, that like 70-80% of LeBron's shots came out of like isolation, which I think just doesn't hit the ceiling of what he could be around. LeBron's still great in any kind of offensive set, but I think just playing off of the guards, he's found something that worked. And then again, that Philly game, one of my favorite games. Just I've rewatched that fourth quarter a few times now. It's just a beautiful like quarter. It was high level basketball to me. Maxey doing what he does, getting to the rim. I don't think Flash could guard Maxey. Maxey, just his speed is insane. But yeah, that was a really, you know, awesome win between all of them. Even with Austin struggling, I felt like the process, the process was really, really good against the Sixers.
Well, and that's what kind of gets me to this blueprint thing, right? The notion of the blueprint. And so there's this thing that like parents wind up doing a lot, and good salespeople do this too. And I happen to have been both at various moments in my life. If you can convince somebody that the good idea is their idea, you've won, right? Like if you can convince somebody without making it seem as if you're selling them on that idea, but if you can convince somebody that like this thing that would work out best for them is their idea, then you've done your job. That's the sale is done. Your parenting is done, and that's how this goes. And I kind of feel like over this road trip, JJ Redick, whether he meant to or not, convinced LeBron of what the Lakers need to do without selling him on it. It just showed him. And sometimes basketball just does that. Sometimes it's the world, the universe just kind of shows you whatever it is that you need to do. And in this case, it was Scottie Barnes blocking the shit out of that fadeaway. It was telling LeBron, like, young man, you are not, ISO is not your game anymore, you know? And like, there are going to, like you said, there are going to be some matchups, right? Where if they switch an Austin pick and roll, then LeBron's going to have ISO in the post and that's going to be just fine for him too. But like, I think this road trip, my biggest takeaway from it was, the Lakers, and by the Lakers, I mean LeBron, Luka, and Austin, being sold on this blueprint of what their clutch offense is going to look like. And Raj, this is exactly what we wanted it to be heading into that Minnesota series, right? It just took a little while to get here. My thing, too, also is like in zooming out from even just the clutch stuff, but I also think the blueprint is pretty evident in offensively in that, like, no team, especially if LeBron is being used like this, no team is equipped to deal with those three guys going at them in all of these different ways for 48 minutes. Maybe OKC has the personnel to do it. Maybe. I don't think they do, though. I truly don't think they do.
Yeah, I mean, OKC has the 15-man roster, and their motor every night kind of helps them in the regular season in a way. I think in a playoff series, it becomes very interesting. But
it would, right?
Yeah, it'd be. I think it's interesting. And look, it's hard to argue with. They're 22-1 in bulldozing.
Yeah, I know.
They beat the Utah Jazz by 30, and Shea, I think, didn't play. It's just they had Will Hardy cursing out the team.
This isn't me shitting on OKC. Right. I'm just talking about, like, The notion I keep coming back to this season is if you're going to win a championship this year, you have to be the best in the league at something.
Bye, everyone.